Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
We are back with another episode of the Testudo Talk podcast. I'm Emmett Siegel, as always, here with Andrew Chodas. Andrew, it's been a couple more days. We're going to focus this episode on the Penn State football game that's coming up, but it's been a couple more days since that Northwestern game that you were at that we all watched. And we gave, a pretty honest instant reaction to that game. Before we start getting into Penn State, and I promise that's what this episode will be about for the listeners that saw the title, and we're hoping for that. But I think we should maybe rehash it just a couple days later. Where do we think maybe this team stands as we head into the final month of the season that maybe, you know, right after the game we didn't see before? How have your opinions maybe changed over the last couple days?
I don't think they've changed that much. I think in the grand scheme of things, I think it was a really, really, really tough loss for the program, especially in the direction they hope to be going into this season. And it's a game you just can't lose, and they didn't have it. The result is what it is for them. You're 5-3, and you have four games to go against four really good football teams. So I think that starting this weekend with Penn State, we're going to really see what the Terps are made of.
Yeah, and I do want to talk a little bit maybe about the weekly press conference that we got on Tuesday. I thought Mike Locksley was very honest. And we've seen that a bit from him this year, maybe more than in past years. But for him to say, kind of going against what he said at the beginning of the season, where we're just not there yet, we're not at the point where we can actually start competing for Big Ten championships, I appreciated the honesty. Now, obviously, I'm sure a lot of people read that and were like, you know, well, of course, why'd you say that in the first place? A lot of people putting the blame on him. But even so, just to see that honesty, and to see some of the players, Bo Braid, Roman Hemby, acknowledging the fact that this team is in a bit of a tailspin right now and they need to pick it up. I thought it was a bit refreshing. But even so, the month of October for this team was a complete disaster. You know, on the field, they lost three of three games. They went winless in the month. You had the off the field stuff. You had Kevin Sumlin getting arrested. You had Josh Gattis, involved in the Michigan probe, or at least named in a Sports Illustrated report. And then you had Tyrese Chambers, a wide receiver. He left the team during the bye week for personal reasons. So, a lot of off-the-field distractions going on with this team. Do you think maybe that seeps into their minds at all? Or do you kind of just think they end the season just forgetting that all and kind of are able to flip the page here as we enter November?
I think it has to a little bit, right? I think that they're human beings. I think that when you have a teammate leave the team, a coach leave the team, I think that has to affect you on some level. But I think it's also, when you look at the two games, it's 2-1 possession losses, games where they had chances to win. And it's just, I think that's really the demoralizing part, because they really were just a play or two away from being 7-1 right now. So I think it's internally, I'm going to assume it's really tough for them. And I think it's going to be unbelievably difficult, for them to kind of regroup and find some success towards the end of the season. I might be wrong. I don't know, but I just see it being very, very difficult, for them to have all this momentum and confidence, even externally, and then kind of see it, deflate in front of their eyes. But they have a huge opportunity here, obviously, against Penn State. Maryland's still looking for their first ever ranked Big Ten victory, which is a pretty ridiculous statistic. But we'll see what happens. At home, it'll probably be more Penn State fans than Maryland fans. But nonetheless, a home game to build back some momentum.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of people had this game circled in the preseason as maybe Maryland's going in 7-1, maybe Penn State's going in at 7-1, you know, potentially a really big matchup. And, you know, even though Maryland has struggled of late and, you know, Penn State lost to Ohio State, they only have one loss. They're still kind of on track, but maybe hasn't looked quite as impressive as they were hoping in recent weeks. There's still a lot of buzz about this game. This is still a huge game for both teams. You know, this is Maryland's chance to not only get back on track, but like you said, get a monumental win at home. It's obviously going to be, you know, a split crowd, but should still be a pretty good one nonetheless. And then for Penn State, looking to bounce back, let's segue into Penn State and what this team has been about. Ranked a little bit higher in the AP poll than the College Football Playoff poll. The playoff poll put them at 11, which is a couple spots higher than where they were in the AP poll, but nonetheless, still one of the best teams in the Big Ten, probably the third best team in the Big Ten. Their one loss this season came to Ohio State. Hard to fault them for that. That was 2 weeks ago. A really good defensive performance from them. That's the strength of their team. We'll talk about their offense, completely sputtered, really poor performance against a really good defense that Ohio State has. But we definitely saw the question marks continue to get raised about that Penn State offense, specifically about their quarterback. But that defense is legit. They struggled again last week against Indiana. They were able to squeeze by at the end. Once again, not a lot of explosive plays, but this is still a really good team. One of the best teams Maryland's going to play all year. And definitely still, even though they have that loss to Ohio State, still a contender to win the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, like you mentioned, obviously a questionable performance against Indiana last week and really scraping by with a 9-point victory. But again, their defense is just so, so good. And it's going to be such a test for Maryland's offense going against a Penn State defense that allows under 235 yards per game. You know, they allow 162 passing yards per game. That's almost like half of Talia Tagovailoa's total. They do not allow running backs to get into the game. They allow 70 yards per game. Maryland's rushing attack, which has struggled all season. And Mike Lockley said during, you know, this week of how they really want to get the rushing game back involved, only had 13 total rushes against Northwestern. This is certainly one hell of a matchup to kind of start that against going against Penn State. But this is going to be Maryland's toughest defensive test that they faced all season. And we're going to learn a lot about Talia Tagovailoa. Obviously it's a couple games in a row where he's, you know, we've seen some crucial mistakes. This is a Penn State defense, which doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So it's going to be a really interesting battle to see Maryland's offense, which we know what their ceiling is, but we also know what their low is when the mistakes pile up. And going in such a stout defense, I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup to look out for.
Yeah, Penn State's defense, like you said, is absolutely sensational. In terms of pure talent, is up there with anyone in the country. Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator, a lot of people remember him maybe in recent years from his time at Miami, but still a really, really good defensive coordinator. And they have a ton of talent. Chop Robinson stands out as a guy that Maryland fans are obviously familiar with because, you know, he's at Maryland as a freshman, then he transfers. He was out in the last game. He suffered a concussion against Ohio State, so worth keeping an eye on him. Kind of as an edge rusher to see if he's available. But this Penn State team, like you said, still so loaded, so good against the run. Abdul Carter is one of the best linebackers in the country. Penn State has one of the best collections of secondary talent in the nation. This is a really, really stout group that's going to be a huge challenge for Maryland. Maryland needs to establish the run more, like you mentioned, than they have in previous games. This is a really, really bad matchup to do that against, especially considering Maryland's offensive line has not been quite as good as maybe it was earlier in the season over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we're going to see how that all plays out and see if Maryland can maybe set the tone there. But this Penn State team, like you would expect from one that has a defense as good as it does, is kind of a grinded out team. They're not necessarily as explosive as maybe you've seen from them in past years. You know, I'm going back a couple of years now, but when they had like Saquon Barkley, when they had those collections of receivers that maybe they've had in recent years, not quite as explosive, but still just as dangerous. And, you know, one of the best teams in the conference led by that defense, which is so, so, so good.
You know, and I think it's definitely really concerning for Maryland. You know, we said Laxley mentioned he wants to lean on the run game a little bit more, but I think inevitably you're going to have to rely on the passing attack a lot. And you mentioned the offensive line, right? They allow six sacks against Northwestern. Now you go against a Penn State team that leads the that leads the Big Ten in sacks and allows the least amount of rushing yards per game. It's a scary matchup if you're Maryland. If you're an offensive team, if you're a team that's trying to build back its offense, maybe play a little bit smarter. And it just seems like the stars are aligning. Penn State's a team that's able to force other teams into a lot of mistakes. And that's why I think it's going to be an incredible, it's going to be an uphill battle for Maryland to win this one.
Absolutely. And I would be doing a disservice if I didn't mention Kalen King, who's the top defensive back for Penn State, probably a first round pick this year, one of the best in the country. And, you know, that he's just going to cause all sorts of problems for Talia. A huge game for him to bounce back. We saw the mistakes on display against Northwestern. We talked about it a ton in the reaction episode, if you guys want to go listen to that. But the way that we saw him, you know, he had the fumble earlier in the game that kind of shifted the momentum, and then the game sealing interception. We saw the display of the mistakes that we've been hoping for Talia Tagovailoa to erase in recent years. Like you said, Maryland cannot make a lot of mistakes. Penn State is a really opportunistic team at forcing mistakes, really steady defense. The kind of defense that is going to be really hard to penetrate. So yeah, it'll probably come down to who makes fewer mistakes on that regard. And if Maryland starts to dig itself into a hole, this is a really, really tough team to make a comeback against. But what Penn State doesn't do, at least hasn't shown so far this season, is that explosive playability that maybe they were hoping. And that all starts with quarterback Drew Aller, who's in his first year starting. Five-star quarterback, I believe the top quarterback in his class. He was sitting behind Sean Clifford last year, didn't really get into any games with, you know, a couple exceptions. But Drew Aller has been, he's shown the flashes. We've seen the flashes from Drew Aller. We've seen why he was so hyped up and why a lot of fans were, you know, questionable about Sean Clifford and whether or not they should have just accelerated the development of Drew Aller and thrown him in there. But what we've also seen is Penn State's inability to get the ball down the field efficiently. Yeah. What they've done is they've kind of grinded out their opponents. And that's easy to do when you have two of the best running backs in the country. Katron Allen and Nick Singleton are, for my money, I know a lot of people, you know, Michigan has a really good running back group. For my money, Penn State has the best two running backs, at least the best 1-2 running back duo in the country, behind a really good offensive line as well. So, you know, you can kind of understand them playing to their strengths there. And they don't necessarily have those big play receivers, maybe like they did. You know, Parker Washington is gone from last year. Mitch Tinsley, not necessarily a huge big play guy, but a really good receiver that's kind of on and off an NFL roster right now. With Keandre Lambert-Smith as kind of your only big play threat that at least we've seen, you know, they have guys like Dante Cephas and stuff that can make big plays. But it's going to start and end Penn State's offense, at least in terms of how far it can go, maybe not in this game specifically, but how far Penn State can go offensively. It starts and ends with Drew Aller, because if he's locked in, he could take them to a new level. But from what we've seen so far, he hasn't been able to maybe push them over the edge in the way that they were hoping.
Yeah, and I think for Drew Aller, right? I think like you mentioned, he has the fortune of being able to rely on, I would agree with you, the best running back duo in the Big Ten. But both guys are both top 10 in the conference and in yards, both over 400 yards on the season. But Drew Aller, he struggled with the big plays. He's really struggled on the road. He hasn't really been able to generate a lot on the road. He's completing under 50% of his passes, averaging just around five yards an attempt. Only has two touchdowns on the road. So again, you can kind of feel that this game is going to be put in the hands of the running backs, just looking at how Drew Aller has performed on the road. And it's like you said, it's going to be Penn State. They grind out their opponents, and the kind of the game, as the game goes on, the better Penn State gets, just because on the defensive side of the ball, they're really able to frustrate you, grind you out. But again, if you can force Drew Aller to make plays, and it's weird saying this, he's a five-star recruit. He's obviously a very talented player, but that seems like when teams have the best chance of beating Penn State. And you saw Ohio State do that. I think in the first half of that game, I think Drew Aller had or in the first quarter, I think completed like one of his first 10 passes, something like that, or one of his first eight. So again, if you force Drew Aller to make big plays and explosive plays, that's where Penn State's offense has kind of lacked a little bit. But when they're able to find the rhythm in the run game, that's when it's over for their opponents.
Maryland has really emphasized their thing this year, which is win the explosive play battle and win the turnover battle.
And they have in the past three games.
No, they have not. But this opponent, their defense is really good and could definitely force a bunch of Maryland turnovers. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about winning the explosive play battle, Maryland certainly can go toe for toe or punch for punch with Penn State in terms of generating offensive explosive plays. I mean, you have, this is the case pretty much every time they play, Maryland plays anyone this year, but Maryland has the far more experienced quarterback. Maryland has an offense that, you know, it struggled a little bit, but still has certain explosive play ability that we necessarily haven't seen from Penn State, at least on a consistent basis. I can certainly see a scenario where if Maryland goes ahead early, Penn State's put in a very difficult position. You kind of saw that against Ohio State. Once Ohio State got a lead of, I don't know, 10 points or so, once Ohio State got ahead by two scores, they had to throw the ball a lot. Penn State did not go so well. Drew Aller had to throw the ball over 40 times, I believe, in that game, and it just wasn't working for him. So if Maryland can force Penn State into a situation where they have to play from behind, where they need quick scores, or where at least they need to punch back, Maryland, that's where they have the advantage in this game. If Maryland can break out an explosive play, if they can somehow get behind that really stout Penn State defense, then you start seeing an inexperienced quarterback that hasn't really responded too well to adversity so far, at least, you know, on the road, maybe start to struggle a little bit, and then maybe Maryland can eke one out on Saturday. That's my diagnosis.
No, and I agree with that. But you also say you kind of look, oh, it's the more experienced quarterback, but it's also the more mistake-prone quarterback, right? And you look at Drew Aller, he only has two interceptions on the entire season, talking about low, you know, near the top of the conference, right? So it's that, right? And it's, as we've seen in the past three games, it's that mistake that is kind of, for Maryland, that has kind of given the other team momentum. And when you go against a defense like Penn State, which is one of, if not the best in the country, you kind of expect at least one of those mistakes to happen, whether it's a fumble or an interception. But you, for Maryland, you have to hope that doesn't, you know, allow you to kind of unravel. And we've seen that over the past few games. So I think that's, and I said this last week, the keys to the game was going to be against an inferior opponent in Northwestern. It's going to be limit the mistakes. Don't allow Northwestern to gain momentum. Talk about Loa, second drive, the fumble, the pick to end the game. And now it's the same thing as a much better opponent, right? You think that Maryland has the potential for more explosive plays, but at the same time, the potential for more mistakes, and that's what has given Penn State the upper hand in previous years, and what can give them the upper hand come Saturday.
Yeah, and Penn State, like I said, their offensive line is really, really good. One detractor of having those grind them out drives that last, you know, double digit plays and take a lot of time off the clock, even though you have those great running backs, is one negative play, and all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball. So that's one thing that Maryland's defensive front can really frustrate that Penn State offense by generating a sack on first down or a loss of 4 yards on a run where they blow up a play in the backfield. Something like that could immediately kill a Penn State drive. Now, do I expect Maryland's defense to get a lot of pressure on this Penn State offense and to make Drew Aller uncomfortable and to stop those running backs? No, I don't. But if Maryland can do that, if Maryland can generate pressure, and if Maryland can make Penn State uncomfortable, that's what it's going to come down to on the defensive side of the ball, is making a quarterback who hasn't played too well on the road and making a team that doesn't necessarily have the ability to switch the game's momentum in one play to make them uncomfortable and force them to play your game instead of playing their game.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right with that. And I think Penn State, I think just the way that they've been able to dominate lesser teams, kind of, well, except for Indiana, you know, between the trenches to tire them out, that's what's going to ultimately, I think, we'll get into predictions, I think that's what's going to allow them to prevail. And I think as this game gets into the third, the fourth quarter, it's going to be those long drives against a tired Maryland defense, which I think will allow them to kind of pull out a victory and erase Maryland's hopes of a ranked Big Ten victory.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to some football scheduling news after this, so we can jump right into predictions. I think we've mostly, unless there's anything that you think we haven't hit on, but I think we've hit on most of the important points at least. Do you have anything that you want to add before we jump into score predictions?
Mike Locksley said that they're definitely shaking hands. So for Maryland fans, don't think that's going to happen again.
Maryland 1-0 in games where they don't shake hands against Penn State. But yeah, the interesting thing that I saw about the score before we jump into our predictions is that it seems like the betting market is coming in on Maryland. I don't know if that's more of a consensus on maybe Maryland's being undervalued or maybe Penn State people aren't super confident in them, but the line opened at over 11 points. I think it was about 11 and a half, 12. Now it's down to 8-ish in favor of Penn State, which is certainly interesting to see people maybe thinking that this game will be closer than expected. But taking that all into account, what's your score prediction for Saturday when Maryland plays Penn State?
I'm gonna give a quarter by quarter breakdown.
Okay, very detailed. I like it.
Very detailed. 7-3 Maryland after the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
13-7 Penn State at the half. 16-7 Penn State after the third quarter. And 26-7 at the end of the game, Penn State.
So that's, depending on when Maryland scores that touchdown, that's over 20 unanswered points for Penn State.
Correct.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Maryland scoring 7 points, you know, seems like it's obviously a few, but this is such a good defense that it's hard to disagree with you that, you know, Maryland could be completely shut down. I think I'm a little bit more optimistic from a Maryland perspective about how close this game could be. I'm not going to pick Maryland to win the game because I don't think they quite have enough to get over the hump. And I think that Penn State defense and those running backs are good enough for them to beat pretty much anyone on their schedule except for Ohio State, which we already saw, and then Michigan, I think next week or maybe 2 weeks from now. So I'm going to go with Maryland 14, Penn State 20. I think Penn State wins this game. I don't think they're overly impressive on offense. I don't think Maryland is either. I think Maryland's defense has enough to keep Penn State's offense in check and at least limit, like I said, limit explosive plays, not let them get ahead super early. I can definitely see this game being a one-score game going into the fourth quarter, but I think Penn State has just enough to get over the hump and beat Maryland, give them their fourth straight loss.
I want to add something too, because I know I say that Penn State, I think they're going to win 26-7, but I wouldn't be surprised if Maryland somehow pulled off this upset. I think Maryland, they've kind of thrown us for all these twists and turns this season. You know, you think they're going to do this, they do the opposite. So for all I know, Maryland may go out there and Talia Tagovailoa may throw 5 touchdowns. Like, it's like, this team kind of, whatever you expect them to do, they do the opposite, it kind of feels like. So I really do think anything can happen this weekend.
Well, I liked Roman Hemby's quote this week where he said, and this is coming from a player who's been in the locker room, has had the conversations with coaches and his teammates, a player saying, we are good enough to beat anyone, but we can play bad enough to lose to anyone. So when you hear a player like that, you know, an important player say something like that on the record, it's certainly a little bit eye-opening. I kind of agree with him in that Maryland has the talent to beat a team like Penn State, no doubt about it, even though they haven't shown it recently. We've still seen that Maryland can, you know, hang around with the top team at least for a bit. And in that Ohio State game, it was a, you know, one possession game going into the fourth quarter. So if that happens against Penn State, which is a little bit less potent, doesn't have a Marvin Harrison Jr., which, I mean, gave even Penn State's defense all sorts of trouble. Gus Johnson called him Maserati Marv probably 100 times.
I had to turn the TV off. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, Gus Johnson's great, but
you know, I love Gus Johnson.
He was rubbing it in a little bit, but even so, the point being that, you know, I can see Maryland hanging around and then it's possible that they could pull this one out. I feel, especially because this game is at home, I know there's going to be a lot of jokes made and a lot of stuff about how many Penn State fans are going to be there, but because this game is at home, it's not at Ohio State. I can definitely see Maryland keeping it close for four quarters. Do you want to jump into scheduling news now that we've recapped this or at least previewed this Penn State game?
Sure. Yeah. So the Big Ten revealed the conference schedule for next season. Maryland will kick off its conference slate in week two of the entire season. So very early at home against Michigan State. In between that game, they'll have their three non-conference games against UConn, Virginia, and Villanova. And we'll also see later in the season, we'll see Maryland travel out west to Eugene, which will be very interesting to see that for sure, to see Maryland play a game in Eugene, Oregon. It's definitely not something you would have thought you would say a few years ago. But Emmett, if you kind of want to go through game by game, but I think those are definitely the highlights.
Yeah, for sure. That West Coast travel and seeing Maryland play out there is definitely going to take some getting used to. But
November 9th, by the way, that game. November 9th.
What's that?
November 9th against Oregon, Justin.
Yeah. So I'll go kind of game by game here. But the biggest takeaway before I get into that is this schedule is really backloaded. And this schedule certainly has the makeup of a Maryland team that might – you know, we don't know what this Maryland team is going to look like next year, and we don't know what the expectations are going to be, but I can certainly see a scenario where maybe they have a similar start to this year where they can get off hot and then start stacking some losses later in the year. Like you said, you mentioned the first four games, UConn, Michigan State, Virginia, and Villanova. Who knows what Michigan State will look like? Who knows if Virginia will be improved? But you would expect at face value Maryland to get at least three, maybe four wins out of that. And then they play Indiana and Northwestern in their next two games. There's a bye week sandwich in between those two games. Two other teams that you would think are winnable games. You know, we talked about the Northwestern thing already 100 times. But, you know, you're looking at potentially having 5-6 wins at that point in the season by October 12th. But then it starts to really heat up. You host USC, the first ever time that Maryland's hosting USC, which will be certainly interesting. USC, maybe not as good as we thought this year, but that's still a marquee program coming to College Park, still going to be a really, really good team. Maryland will have an uphill battle in that game. Then you're at Minnesota, a solid team, tough to play on the road. The Oregon game you mentioned, you know, they're probably going to lose that game. Realistically speaking, Oregon's really good. You know, they're one of Bo Nix, but they're still really, really good. Home against Rutgers, not the final game of the season, but home against Rutgers, you know, we've seen those two teams go back and forth in recent years. Rutgers is Maryland's protected rival, so they'll be playing them every year from here until they add more teams and have to fix the scheduling again. But yeah, there's that game. Then you're home against Iowa for the last home game of the regular season. And Iowa will be without Brian Ferentz, so maybe they'll be a good offensive team next year. But then interestingly, they end the season at Penn State, which for all the, it seems like mostly Maryland people that want that to become a rivalry, that are looking for that to become a rivalry. We didn't mention this when we were talking about the game, but Maryland's beaten Penn State only three times ever in like 46 attempts, only twice since joining the Big Ten. Final game of the regular season. It's November 30th. It's a little later than usual, it feels like. Maryland at Penn State, kind of a cool way to end the season. We'll see if Maryland is still, you texted this earlier today, if Maryland's still standing on 2 feet after that grind of a schedule to end the season. But I think it's a little bit cool to see Maryland play Penn State in the final game of the regular season. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I also do want to mention Maryland has two byes. I don't know if we went over that. Definitely very interesting to see them have a conference game in week two of the season, and then have a bye the weekend of October 5th and then November 2nd. I don't recall the last time Maryland had two byes in a season. Do you?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but certainly not in the last couple of years. I don't
believe. Yeah, so certainly not in a very long time. But again, the joke is always made, oh, Maryland will have their 4-0 start. And then, I mean, this is incredible. I mean,
shaping up perfectly for the people who love Maryland.
It's always, you know, the second half of the schedule is always harder for Maryland, obviously, as you get into Big Ten play. But with this, with the new, I'll use your term, super conference. I mean, to have your latter half of the season have games against Penn State and Iowa and USC and Oregon. I mean, that is tough schedule. And then next year you're looking at the Washington Huskies. I mean, but in all seriousness, I mean, it's going to be a grind of a schedule for Maryland. Obviously, it's going to be when you go out west to fly out to take on Oregon, who might be one of the best teams in the country again. Again, I'm not looped in on Oregon recruiting, but they'll be very good.
They're always one of the top teams.
Yeah. And then you come right back home to take on a Rutgers team, which this season has kind of shown off and played really, really well. They clinched a bowl game before Maryland this season. And then they played
Wagner, so I don't know.
Hey.
It counts. I'm selling on the Rutgers stock, but I'm still – it's impressive that Greg Schiano has kept that thing afloat, even though they've struggled in recent years.
And then Iowa comes into town, never an easy game, and then you go on the road to take on Penn State. I mean, it's those the last five games of the season. That is grueling. I mean, there is a, like you mentioned, I think there's a genuine case to be made that Maryland starts off the season 5-1. I don't think six. I think 6-0 is bold.
That's a lot of straight wins to start a season.
That's bold. I think there's a case to be made that they start off 5-1. Well, honestly,
they'll be favored probably. Well, we don't know who their quarterback is.
I was going to say, is Billy Edwards going to be a starter and lead Maryland to a I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, certainly. Another interesting note, this has been rehashed a couple times, but it's kind of funny how, like, the second divisions got abolished. Everyone's like, Maryland wins because Maryland doesn't have to play Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan every year. Now I'm looking at this schedule for next year, and it's the same thing. They don't even have Michigan or Ohio State on the schedule, and it's just as hard. Like, you, instead of those three, now you have Penn State, Oregon, and USC. And then the year after that, you have, you know, I don't remember exactly. I don't have it pulled up, but I think you have, you know, Michigan and Washington being added to that. Like, you know, it's with this conference and the way it's expanded and the way it's built itself up to be right there with the SEC as one of the toughest conferences in the country, it doesn't even matter if you have divisions at this point. Like, it's going to be a grueling schedule every single year. There are no years where, you know, Maryland's going to have an easy schedule. Next year, you look at it and you say, maybe it's shaping up favorably for a good start to the season. But that doesn't necessarily mean that their end of season record is going to be really good. We don't have to talk too much about next year and the makeup of Maryland's team, you know, because there's so much that's going to happen between now and then. But when you just look at the schedule and you just see some of the brand names on there, it's kind of hard to ignore that, you know, there are no weeks off in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just wanted just to add one thing. So I know you mentioned how it's only going to, you know, people thought after Ohio State, Michigan, after that division going to, you know, get abolished. But I'm just looking ahead right now. And in 2025, they go on the road to take on UCLA and Wisconsin, and they host Michigan and Washington, right? It's just in 2026, you go on the road to take on Ohio State and USC. It's crazy. That's
crazy. Ohio State and USC on the road in 1 year. Nuts.
Yeah. Oh no, and they're also hosting UCLA and Penn State. So I mean, it's just like it's going to be unbelievably tough for Maryland to pull off wins and maybe when Loxley said that they're not there yet to compete for Big Ten championships. Looking at what lies ahead. I'm not sure if they'll ever be there. Not to be the pessimist. I'm just trying to think.
You're being a realist. You're not being a pessimist. Yeah,
so I'll put it out there.
There are a lot of roadblocks to that. Also, without division, you're just going to get the top two teams, which should make for maybe a more interesting Big Ten championship game. All aside, while we're here, while we're talking about it, because we're not going to talk about this for probably a while, do we just want to give haphazard record predictions for next year for the people who have made it this far into the episode? Let's go for it. I'm going to look down the schedule here. I'm going to say they start 5-1, like you said. Lost to USC. I'm going to say they probably lose to Minnesota and Oregon, and they beat Rutgers and lose to the next two teams. So that would be starting, 5-1 and finishing 6-6?
Yeah.
I think that a 6-6 record next year would be a realistic expectation for this team.
But again, the problem that like you mentioned is we don't know who their quarterback is. That's a very
we don't know who the most important really, position is going to
really
be.
Important. No, but if let's say a guy like Billy Edwards is a starting quarterback. Let's play hypothetical. I agree. I think they beat UConn, and then I think you look at Michigan State, Virginia, Villanova, Indiana, Northwestern. I'm gonna say they go 4-2 in those games. I don't think they go 5-1. I think they go 4-2, and then I think they pull off two wins. Whether it's with between Minnesota, Rutgers, and Iowa, I think they're able to pull off two wins, and I think they finish 6-6.
Okay, 6-6. Certainly in play for this year's team too. This year's team is not bowl eligible yet, but they'll have a chance on Saturday against Penn State. Thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it as always. Basketball season's right around the corner. Early next week, we'll have a basketball episode with the men's team starting their season on Tuesday and the women's team on Monday. Thank you all so much, and we will see you after the game on Saturday.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.